Good morning and welcome. You're listening to News18.com's Daybreak. Hello and welcome everybody. You're listening to News18's podcast, The Daybreak, with me, Zoya Mateen. Let's quickly have a look at some of the top stories for the day. Now, a roadmap to solve the 60-year-old Ram Janmabhoomi Babri Masjid dispute is expected today as the Supreme Court takes a final call on whether it would order a formal mediation. Despite the disapproval of most of the parties involved, the court is in favor of mediation in the case. And a 5-judge bench led by Chief Justice of India, Ranjan Gogoi, had said that the case was not about property, but mind, heart and healing if possible. The dispute involves 2.77 acre of land in Ayodhya, where a 16th century mosque set to be built by Mughal Emperor Babur stood. The Hindu activist who raised it in December 1992 believed that it was built on the ruins of an ancient temple marking the birthplace of Lord Ram. During the last hearing, which took place on Wednesday, most of the Hindu petitioners, the Uttar Pradesh government and the council of Ram Lalla, the deity infant Lord Ram, had shown reluctance towards the idea of mediation. The Sunni Waqf Board, which is ready to give mediation a shot, is concerned about privacy during negotiations. The Nirmohi Akhara, which is one of the Hindu petitioners in the case, has also agreed for mediation. After hearing them, the court has reserved its order on appointing a mediator for today. Now, the Constitution Bench, which is hearing the case, has said that mediation may help in healing relations. Even if there is 1% chance of settling the dispute amicably, the party should go for this route. The UP government has once again, however, maintained their stand against any mediation process on the grounds that it is both imprudent and unadvisable in the given circumstances. Now, it's important to understand that mediation will push back any possibility of an early beginning of the construction of the Ram Temple, which has been the top priority of right-wing groups ahead of the upcoming national elections. There have also been calls to bypass the judicial process through an ordinance of executive order by the government. However, Prime Minister Narendra Modi said that no decision could be made until the judicial process is over. To our top news from yesterday, which is that the Congress Central Election Committee on Thursday announced that the UPA chairperson Sonia Gandhi will contest from Rae Bareli and Congress President Rahul Gandhi will once again be fielded from Amethi. The list, which confirmed the Congress's candidates for 15 constituencies, 11 in Uttar Pradesh and 4 in Gujarat, did not, however, surprisingly mention the newest Congress General Secretary Priyanka Gandhi Vadra. Amethi and Rae Bareli are Congress bastions in Uttar Pradesh and the only two seats won by the grand old party in the 2014 Lok Sabha elections. Sonia Gandhi's candidacy lays to rest the speculation of her forsaking the mantle to Priyanka Gandhi, and it also comes at a time when Congress is trying to stretch up strategic alliances to take on the BJP. Gandhi still has a pivotal role to play in the process of many alliance partners and potential ones would prefer to speak and negotiate with her rather than Congress President Rahul Gandhi. Now, more news coming from Pakistan. After 2 days of banning the Jamaat-ul-Dawa and its charity wing Falah-e-Insaniyat Foundation, Pakistani authorities yesterday sealed the Lahore headquarters of the two Hafiz Saeed-led outfits as a part of an ongoing crackdown against terror groups in the country. A statement was issued by the Punjab Home Department on Thursday, which stated that under the National Action Plan, the government has taken complete control of the banned JUD and FIF headquarters in Lahore and Muridiki. Meanwhile, United Nations has rejected Hafiz Saeed's plea to remove his name from its list of banned terrorists. Now, the UN decision to reject the appeal of Saeed, who is also the co-founder of the terror group Lashkar-e-Taiba, came after India provided detailed evidence, including highly confidential information about his activities. However, interestingly, alongside a terrorist, Maulana Fazlur Rahman Khalil, who is been recognized by the US as an international terrorist and is the founder of the terrorist organization Harkat-ul-Mujahideen, joined Imran Khan's party Tehreek-e-Insaf on Thursday. The announcement was made by a senior PTI leader, Asad Omar, on Facebook, who said that Khalil, along with several of his supporters, have pledged their support to the Pakistan Prime Minister. Khalil's entry into the party comes at a time when Pakistan, as mentioned, has called for a shutdown of offices and institutions run by Jamaat-ud-Dawa. Pakistan's welcome to Khalil, who is an internationally recognized terrorist, to the party has raised questions over Imran Khan's claims that his government has launched a complete crackdown on terror outfits and leaders thriving on Pakistani soil. In Jammu and Kashmir, a teenager was killed and 32 others were injured on Thursday in a grenade attack by suspected terrorists, which took place in the crowded SRTC bus stand area in the heart of the city. Police said that one suspect named Yasir Bhatt from Kulgam area of Kashmir has been arrested for lobbing the grenade. The Inspector General of Police has also said that the accused is suspected to have links with the militant outfit Hizbul Mujahideen and has confessed to the crime. This was the third grenade attack by terrorists in Jammu bus stand since May last year and is being viewed by security agencies as an attempt to disturb the communal harmony and peace in the city. Right, with this we come to an end of today's podcast, but we'll be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you as always. In the meantime, please don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and don't forget to follow news18.com for more updates.
Thank you for listening. Stay updated by visiting news18.com.